God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. Don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Aru! Welcome again to the Dog Poet Lair, that deep cave in the collective unconscious. Deep within, where the stars that are in the skies shine out in an interior landscape all of its own. Hard to find, hard to locate, the breeding ground of organic saucer pods, which exist in the imagination and then precipitate down into what passes for reality and which is brought into manifestation through precipitation until it's something you can open the door and step into. An act of faith, if you will. Everything's an act of faith, good faith. Bad people have faith in bad things. They're no different than good things, except that they're bad by common definition, even though common definition is often wrong, and therefore often manipulated by bad people and bad things, because most people don't know the difference, except in terms of what they've been told. The old maxim applies, trust but verify. Inquire and prove things against the presence of the ineffable, which illuminates all things in their real value and meaning. It's too much to ask of most people because what they are likely to discover gets in the way of what they want. In order to get what you think you want, you have to buy into the reality that makes having them okay and possible. That wouldn't be reality, and so there you are, wherever there is, as in there's no there there. I could go on and on. I do go on and on. I certainly go on and on here for 15 minutes every week and other places for a longer duration, and saying the same things over and over in different ways, hoping that it has some value and makes a difference. The event horizon looms across the soundtrack of other voices and other rooms, waxing poetic for a moment, but being sincere in terms and intention, because we're surrounded by voices and players and places that are not manifestly divine. New dimensions are coming into being as old states of being pass away, including the people attached to those old states of being, if they do not choose to detach themselves from those states of being, as is the case of the moment in which we find ourselves. People are insulating themselves against change and transition with electrical and battery-operated devices, with flesh in the things of flesh, with the pollutions of diseased imaginations galvanized by objects of desire. The pull is awesome, and none are immune to some degree. It's a time of trial and confusion, dark smoke and dirty mirrors. What to do? In the midst of things not being what they seem, we are in the midst of people not being what they seem. We are presented with masks that remain in place only so long as that person is pleased with the outworking of their desires. As long as things go their way, they are okay. When things do not, look out. In order for the truth about anyone or anything to surface, we have to test it to discover what is concealed below and what the reaction points and procedures are. There's no way around it, unless you're comfortable with masks and never knowing. Then what happens is that sooner or later, the circumstances of life put you in a situation where the masks come off and you find that you're more deeply entangled in the dance of masks than you ever wanted to be or needed to be, if you had only taken the trouble in the first place. It's not often kind and it's not often enjoyable and it's not often resolved in a better way for all concerned, but you have to measure the cost of inception against the greater cost of later on down the road. You can think of all of it like a marriage. Sometimes you hear bells. They are not wedding bells. They are alarm bells. If you listen to them, you may experience some amount of disappointment, but nothing like what you will experience later on when there is time invested, shared property, children, or any of the things that attend these unions. There are two arguments that constantly surface. Become more engaged in the struggle, obtaining unity with your fellows, and overthrow the old world order that's always bent on creating new world disorder. And the other argument is to drop out of the game board, off of it completely, and seek unity with your fellows through the detachment by attaining to unity with yourself. That's a general idea, and I'm sure there are other options. Some people like to use their own guidance systems built up through personal experience and faith in their own knowing. Some, like myself, have no guidance system other than trust in the divine and the mysterious counsel that comes out of it. It's not my place to say that I'm right and all of the others are wrong. What works for some wouldn't work for me, but it might very well work for them, and there's no telling whether or when a self-reliant system will meet up with a scenario or event that switches them over to reliance on the divine. This is the thing. We just don't know, and that is something you can rely on, the same way you can lean on the divine. Some people think relying on the divine is a simple affair, and the divine is there to pick up every need and deliver every solution. Well, I've had several weeks where I'm near dead certain that the divine has been messing with me for its own amusement. Is this actually the case? Maybe not. It just seems like it, and it just looks like it. Some days, I get 6 dozen examples of this, and the frustration level can get pretty intense. I just have to motor on and hope I get to the next level. This particular level that I am at is pretty difficult level. There's a lot of all or nothing going on. There's a lot of unwanted identification of enemy sleeper agents snorkeling around in Mr. Visible's neighborhood. Sometimes they don't know they're sleeper agents, designed to wake up as soon as I get in bed with them. Sometimes they're just toxic to my best interests. That doesn't make them bad people. It makes them people whose methodology and motivations are anathema to me. It's not always about good guys and bad guys. It's not always about right and wrong. It's about what works and doesn't work, about what sets you back or throws you off course. I had an inexplicable series of events not so long ago that cost me several friendships and burned up a lot of goodwill that I had painstakingly managed to acquire over an extended time period. There's no way of analyzing what happened. There's no way of protecting against future occurrences, because whoever set them up has its own agenda and isn't concerned about human feelings, only the outcome. It wouldn't be fair to say it doesn't care. Let's just say that it is of secondary of importance. What complicates the affair is how blown out of proportion it all got, simply because someone misread what was actually happening and was unable to accept or admit that. It put things in a position of being unforgiven or unresolved. Not from my end. For me, it was no big deal, especially since I understand why it all had to happen on the back end. If that's an explanation to me, it seems to be the only thing I've been able to come up with, and everything seems to point in that direction, but, you know, even once again, I don't know. Christ makes reference to those following him having to leave their families and all that is familiar and desirable. If you love the world, then you hate Christ, and vice versa. You get the impression that the world then hates you on its own recognizance, but it's really the divine putting you in that situation. We forget, or don't tumble to the reality, that once you put yourself in the hands of the divine, through a conscious adjustment and the way you interpret and understand, that everything that happens to you comes about through divine effort. Well, one could argue that that is the case with everything, but there's a subtle difference at work in the lives of those surrendered and no longer sundered, and those in the half-wit jungles of confused foliage. Did I just say that? I think I did. I don't mean to call people half-wits, but without the wit of God operative in you, you would be a half-wit, right? Or possibly less, since God is more than the total of the sum of the parts. I'm beginning to amuse myself. That's either a good sign or a bad sign. Yeah. Born under a bad sign. I've been plodding and sloughing through the mind and the mud for a long time now. I thought I would be where I hope to be before the point I find myself at now. I recognize that I have certain behavioral characteristics that might have retarded my advance. At the same time, I expect those characteristics have been left in place for a reason, so there's no way to really know. The only option I ever seem to have is to throw myself in the mercy of the divine. I've been told I had no choice so many times that I'm thinking it must be so. It's one of those things that can be hard to believe because A, if you're honest with yourself, you realize that that takes all the weight of responsibility off you, and you don't want to buy into a convenient, comfortable lie. On the other hand, if it's true, it definitely explains a lot of things. It explains things that can't be explained any other way, and it ties in with my being told that good and evil, right and wrong, no longer apply in my case. Because that dynamic only exists within the parameters of the artificial world we collectively created and which we maintain in the state it is in through our collective belief in it. It's not actually real. It just seems to be real because we're surrounded by people who think it's real. Anyone who has ever taken LSD or any of the other psychedelics knows just how unreal this seemingly real world is. Now, I've had to listen to people to tell me that I need to fit in and to adapt, that I need to be responsible in a certain fashion and come to terms with everything. I've heard them tell me that I shouldn't get high. When I know the divine got me high intentionally in the first place so that certain things could happen. Sometimes they tell me that that was then and this is now, but they're speaking for themselves. They can't possibly know what's going on inside me, and that is one of the things I find less than appealing in this world, and a large portion of the world practices it, including people who consider themselves highly conscious and tuned in. They have this tendency to know what's right for someone other than themselves. The best anyone can say, that's how it works for me. God is very ingenious and artful and confounds the wise just as he confounds fools. I don't care how bright you think you are, you're not going to climb the final rungs of the ladder or pass through the important doors on your own. It's like that poem, Footprints, where God was carrying the author. Or one of my favorite images, which is that concerning the proponents of the heart and the mind in respect of each other. Now, you can acquire all the wisdom that consciousness can gain, knowledge of the yogas, magics, all related and hidden things, but you will have to come back and learn what the heart learns through the agency of love. No matter how much you've accomplished, no matter what a high mega state or what state you've come to, if you don't have love, you're going to have to come back and get that because you're incomplete without it. Meanwhile, the heart has all these things added to it automatically. And one must remember that gaining the things of the mind to a higher degree always involves any number of risks and dangers. And I myself cannot tell what is the best path for others, you know, for what it would be. What I can say is that this is Kali Yuga. And it is said that love and devotion are the most certain routes in times like these. And I can't prove that, but it is what I have chosen. And I would add, those that love are forgiven much. Now, that's a good thing to keep in mind. I've been doing this for a while, and I've noticed some subtle changes. They're slight but welcome changes. Things that don't happen anymore or haven't happened in a while, I hope they're gone. On the other hand, certain other concerns have intensified. I pray about them, I ask about them, I inquire after them, I seek to resist them, but it's to no avail. What I'm getting from this is that all of these things are in place to convince me that I am powerless and have no say in what happens to or around me. Once that awareness has fully taken on a visceral level, I suspect all these things will end. I now believe that most everything I've been put through, especially in the last year or so, has been intended and operated and manipulated from another place. It hasn't been welcome, and it hasn't been easy. But that's how it goes. When I ask the divine about the apparent wreckage in the wake and what the divine intends to do about it, I'm told that it's all going to be fixed in the mix, that everything that I said will come true, in terms of people's expectations, and that that itself will be convincing, and that it will be better than it was to begin with. Well, I have to trust that because all of my efforts are to no avail. It gets clearer all the time without actually becoming clear. As soon as I realize it's all in the hands of God, God will stop setting up situations designed to prove it to me. In a way, it's similar to not asking God for patience, or God may give you something to be patient about. Well, my friends, we've come to the end of another broadcast. Hopefully, at some point between one broadcast and another, everything will change in the way I have been anticipating for longer than I can remember. I'm told it'll happen while I'm sleeping, whatever that means. Anyway, I'll see you next week, if there is one. And may you find comfort and illumination in the meantime. And may the love of God protect and surround you. That said, Hare Krishna, Aloha, and Haru! Yeah, yeah.
You can go with him. God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.